Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to the Big Interview Season 2017-2018. Before this interview starts, a brief announcement. This season, we're inviting our listeners to join the Big Interview Members Club. In Spanish football, they call them socios, members. They are the lifeblood of the club, de facto owners, and they get special treatment in return. That's how this will work too. Here is everything you can get if you choose to become a socio of the Big Interview for £2.99 a month. You get one extra exclusive Big Interview episode. No one except the socios will hear this. Join now and you'll get Rafael van der Vaart.
David Silva.
It's a joy to watch.
Yeah, that's a joy. That goes away. The real number 10s. Mm. Because you have to be like Pogba. Big players, strong, box to box. And I think when you have still players like me, like Silva, Schneider, Iniesta, I think that's why you're going to buy a ticket.
Yeah, for sure.
And me too.
You get a brand new weekly show. We call it The Big Inside View, where I'll give you my take on what I've learned, seen or heard over the past 7 days in football. Socios will also receive bonus shows during the season, including question and answer specials around big events like Clásicos. All that for £2.99 a month. Less than a pint, less than the price of your favourite football magazine, less than a match day programme. Go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter to join us, to sign up now to make this happen. That's Patreon, patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Join us. Make the Big Interviews bigger. If you listen to part one of Slaven Bilic here in the Big Interview, you'll know that when Neil and I travelled to Hamburg and then by train to Rotenburg to reach West Ham's pre-season training camp, it was well worth it. Section two is where I get a little bit effervescent about Dejan Savicevic. I get equally excited about Darko Panchev. But also, it's always appealed to me, and I hope it's come out in some of these big interviews, that the one-on-one psychology of battles all over the pitch is something that retrospectively most footballers enjoy explaining. And as a centre-back, that's what Slaven does here. I was fortunate enough to report at France 98. And that semi-final defeat of Croatia, in only their second ever senior tournament, was just a remarkable match. Bilic takes us back to those moments. The key to these interviews is that Bilic offers me something I didn't know about the Croatian team spirit. You'll find it interesting. And then finally, if you happen to be English, this has been a summer where the junior teams have been exceptional. But everybody's saying, will they make the leap forward? Will they get enough game time? Listen to Bilic on the development of a young Luka Modric. And, as ever with a big interview, enjoy. You've said a lot about Alan Boxage. Yeah, so there's something else to say, because let me throw this at you. I remember when, before Manchester United beat you, Juventus went for nearly 8 years, seven, 8 years, when they were never knocked out of Europe. They maybe lost in a final, but they won, lost a final, won, lost a final. And they came to 99. And Manchester United beat them, losing 2-0 in Turin. I was there, the 1-1 at home. Blah, blah. And I remember the Turin crowd, a hard crowd, who threw bottles of urine at us and coins all night and applauded Manchester United off the pitch when they won 3-2 in 1999. But Ferguson said, retrospectively, looking back at that, that he couldn't win against Juventus before that night. He couldn't find a way. And I remember in his autobiography, which he wrote with Hugh McAvaney, he said, I looked to my left and he said, I said, thank God it's only Carlo Ancelotti, not Lippi, because he found Lippi intimidating. And the striker, Juve was a team, a unit, a squad, but the striker who dominated and hurt Manchester United when they couldn't beat Juventus was Boxage.
Yeah.
Maybe tell us about his...
He was scary. He conquered Italy. He was also... When Boban came, at the same time, Boxage...
To Hajduk.
Yeah, at the same time, Boxage, when Boxage was was his 1970, January, February. So it was maybe a year after. He was a bit younger. He came to us and to improve our team because we were going to play under 12 tournament in Rome. And by coincidence, he bought Lazio shirts when we were
he
in
could
Rome.
See the future.
Yeah. So then he played really good for us, for Hajduk Split. Then 1991, he went to Olympique Marseille.
Yes. Yeah.
And then he played unbelievable there. And then Lazio bought him for some crazy money because Craniotti at that time was a chairman with massive money and everything. And then he played. His first year for Lazio was like he was by far the best striker in Italy. He conquered Italy. And he was, of course, recognized in La Gazzetta and all that. And then he went to Juventus. But then he became injured. He got injured, his knee. And then he went after that back to Lazio and then Middlesbrough. And he was unbelievable. He was a power machine. Quick, unbelievable, with more than enough skill. I told you the difference between him and Šuker. Bokšić was not calm as Šuker was. Bokšić was like, if Bokšić also maybe knew that 75% of the goals were scored from that spot. And he would go first couple of times. But the first couple of times the ball went to another spot, third time he wouldn't go there. He would go to another spot, you know. So he was, I would call him a beast. Brilliant player.
Did he give you one of your happiest nights in football? Yugoslavian Cup final.
Tito's Cup, yeah. It was 1991. Red Star won the European Cup against
Marseille.
A
couple of weeks later, right?
A couple of weeks before. I think before. Maybe you are right because it was Egypt. But I think we entered the final in Belgrade with them as
European champions.
Yeah. Exactly. Brilliant team and all that. So we had no chances, basically. But it was pouring rain, a little bit of that. And we, of course, we defended and everything. We had also a good team. Of course we had a good team, but nowhere near them. But he was amazing, and he scored that goal. We beat them 1-0, and we scored, and that's the...
Can I name some of their teams so people can understand the achievement of winning Marshall Tito's Cup for the last time before Yugoslavia broke up? So Stojanovic in goals, Radunovic, Marovic, then Djugovic. Just an unbelievable footballer who played until he was about 76 because he was so good.
Yeah, you guys.
Bela Dodici.
He's Romanian.
Controlled everything.
Like Eastern Beckenbauer, let's say like beautiful, that. Sweeper beautiful. With a style.
I guess he possibly won. I think he won the European Cup.
He won it
Cup
twice. With Steaua and
against
with
Barcelona.
Red Star.
And then Red Star. Yeah. Najozovski, I don't know, but Prozhinevsky,
brilliant
at seven. Mihailovic, sent off. Darko Panchev, who, if I remember correctly, was a little dark-haired guy who wanted the ball given to him so he could hit an overhead kick. The biggest disappointment I had was the Red Star Marseille final because it was dull. Because in Red Star, I'm sorry to say this if it's a bad thing to say, but he could play.
Panchev.
Wow.
Panchev was a typical goal scorer. Typical goal scorer. You know what I mean? It's very hard to find people. I enjoy this because you love football. Yeah, because, you know,
I know I look silly and say crazy things. I told you this beforehand. Yeah, I warned you.
Somehow we look like two, maybe three, like grim old guys who are now talking.
But don't you feel the same? People.
Yeah, I do. But,
thank you.
You know, but it's...
Do you know the crazy thing? The people out there?
Yeah.
So do they.
No, there are still crazy people around. So, yeah, but listen, Panchev, Darko Panchev, he was goal scorer. Brilliant goal scorer. So he played for Vardar Skopje. He is from Macedonia. He's Macedonian. He won the Golden Boot. Like, he won. He was top scorer of ex-Yugoslavia League. And then he moved to Red Star. And there's a story about him. When he came to Red Star, and Red Star was already like, Red Star was always like Man United. This is Red Star in ex-Yugoslavia of Man United. And Darko Panchev comes. And apparently he goes, listen, guys, if I'm outside the box, don't give me the ball. But when I have the ball inside the box, don't shout, give me the ball.
But he made good his promise, because when he had the ball inside the box, he scored.
Panchev was one of them that I told you. One of them, like Shuker.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I played for Hajduk Split. He played for Red Star. And you are marking him and you are good. You know, you're brilliant. He didn't touch a ball. And then I remember those things. You know what I mean? One of the hardest things, or one of the key points of being a good defender, good center back, is, okay, of course you are marking your player. When you see the game, when he is with the back to the ball, you are marking him. You see the ball, you see the player on the ball, and you see
do I go, do I stay?
But then, when that ball comes on a side, on a flank, then you are still with your ball. Now you are running towards your goal, and 95% of the center backs then, or even now, they are with their player, they are watching this forward, and then in one moment you watch the ball. And then you watch the ball, and I think my forward is here. And a lot of times they are here, but a lot of times those exceptional forwards, you sometimes turn your attention to the ball, and then the cross comes, and then your forward is like 5 yards there, and only luck can save you, you know, for him to miss the cross, and you had it, and you're well done, like. But it's basically your mistake. So Panchev against me, or who was great in that? Robbie Fowler.
For sure.
Robbie Fowler was one of them. He goes a little bit, drop the shoulder, and then goes on a far post, and you think, because you are ball watching, you think like, okay, I have him under control. He's nowhere near you, and that is Panchev.
We have to come back to this, the main story, but you've spiraled me off again, because this is something I've always wanted to say to a top-class centre-half. We hear descriptions like ball-watching, you used it there, but I've always thought, if you're a centre-half, you're processing so much information in your head. Where's the keeper? How's the wind? Who does this guy cross? Will he cut back? When's the ball coming? If the ball comes low, am I correctly positioned? Are my feet right? And you've got Darko Panchev or Michael Owen or Robbie Fowler on your shoulder. Yeah. Okay, or Gianluca Vialli. Doesn't matter who it is. Or in training, Boxic.
Yeah.
But the amount of things that you're processing when the commentator goes, oh, and the central defender, Bilic, he lost his attention. You're like a computer. The advantages with the forward. In that situation, 100%. The advantages with the
No. But you are the advantage is on you.
Until you tell me how,
because the ball has to get to him.
Not his problem.
And he has to score. He has to hit the target.
Okay.
Well, you are quite happy as a defender. You don't need to get a ball. You are more than happy. Your job is that you don't get a ball.
As long as it doesn't go to him or in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you are. It's all.
Second time I haven't convinced you. Second time. This is bad.
No, it's this not is bad.
Darko Panchev. There's some other guy. I don't know. He played at 10. I don't know if he made it as a Savicevic. Big guy. Dejan Savicevic.
Genius. He is genius. They used to call him genius.
Oh.
Il genio. Il genio in Milan.
Whoa. He was like Platini times 10. For me, okay, let me make my case, and you can be 3-0 on me. It's your hotel, fine. But his studs never touched the ground. He looked like one of these horses that you see in Vienna, dancing to the music, beautiful tassels, perfect coordination. Also, like Platini, if you take the strip off and you put him in ordinary clothes, maybe he looked like a businessman. And when he's on the pitch, nobody knew where he was. He was a ghost. He could do anything with the football. And also, with just a little shift of the shoulder, whatever, he could move you. And how he used the ball, man. You'd pay to watch him playing with 10 idiots. That's what you would do.
He was dribbling without touching the ball, just dropping the shoulder. I mean, he done it to me. few times, of course. He once in Split, I mean, he didn't score, but what he'd done to us, you know, those kind of things you never forget. You know, I was 20, whatever. The way he was unbelievable, unbelievable. Then, but it's also character.
Mm.
It's also people talk about skill and everything, but it's a character. Who told me? Boban. Yeah, Boban played with him at Milan. All right, and Boban, do you remember that time? Milan wasn't doing good. They were doing, like, quite bad, I think, under Capello. At the end of Capello's era there. And San Siro pitch, they used to have big problems with the pitch.
Sure, sure.
Pitch was awful. They shared the pitch, like still they are.
With
they
Inter.
Shared the stadium with Inter, and the pitch was very, extremely bad. And so Zvone told me, Boban told me, we are playing awful.
Mm.
Not that game, but for like six or seven, eight games, the whole season is like bad. They are whatever, I don't know, but they are not challenging for a title. They are somewhere like sixth, seventh, fifth, whatever. Bad for Milan. And so I told him, we are playing a game against, let's say, Piacenza. And we are losing home, he said. We are losing home, and the whole state, you know, in Italy, it's like... They're not
patient.
As Dzeko said, they are not criticizing you, they are humiliating you. They are killing you, basically.
True.
That's strong. So that, and so Boban told me, like 15 minutes ago, we are all hiding. Nobody wants the ball.
Yeah.
Maldini doesn't want to aim. Hey, we are talking about Maldini, those kind of players. Boban, this one. They are like whistling and everything. Savicevic, give me the ball. They give him a ball. Boban said, we gave him a ball, and he doesn't play safe. No, he risks. He loses the ball. They whistle, scream. Again, give me the ball.
Brilliant.
Give me the ball.
Brilliant.
Give me the ball. Because that's him.
So beyond
maybe
his genius.
Maybe over the top. Not maybe. Definitely over the top too much. But that's why he's
such a genius. Beyond his genius, what did you say early doors? Character.
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 You know
what people...
The biggest difference, you know, especially for the big clubs, the reason when they are buying the players, it's a character.
Mm.
Okay, of course, you have to have some...
They begin
some
with standard, ability.
Of course,
they begin with ability.
But it's about the character.
Can you handle all this? Can you handle the pressure? Can you want the ball when everything's desperate? Can you deal... with the media, can you deal with...
Exactly, but you have to, but as a, you know, you have, also me, I would like my players to listen to me, whatever I say for them to say, yes, boss, this is not wood, this is plastic, or this is white if it's black, or this is black if it is white, I would love it. But then at the same time, how can you expect that... from the players to be like that, and at the same time to go in front of 60, 70, 45, or 80,000 people and be without any fear, to be with the confidence. It's
you see, this is where you're helping us, because some of us listening to this are going to do what you did. We're not. 99% of those listening to this aren't going to do this. But people who don't have your experience, who don't have your ability... Don't make a mistake. We don't only dream about having the ability. We don't fall asleep bossing the defence or scoring the winning goal in the World Cup. We all believe that we would handle it as well.
No, definitely.
But none of us know until we have this kind of conversation is, what does that mean?
Definitely.
And I see players who are burned out mentally, who never see their family, who travel constantly. I see really good players. Okay, for example... The guys we've been talking about are way, way better than, for example, Vincent Bogard. Vincent Bogard left Barcelona and said, I'm going to sign for Chelsea because I want a team which pays me well, but I don't want to be in the Champions League anymore. I don't want to be travelling all the time. I see players when I travel with Spain in winning three tournaments, and you see them going, ah, oh, another day, another hotel bed, another tactical session. The season is 9 months long. No rest. Three summers in a row. So Guardiola introduces, don't go to concentration. Friday at home. People, as much as we explain it, we can't... the pressure, the relentless pressure of the 80,000 on the bad pitch and 1-0 to Piacenza, or the 75th flight of a season, the 75th time you say to your kids, I'll see you in three, blah, blah. But it's all there. It isn't just the injuries or the better players or the manager not liking you. The point of the previous story was you won the last Marshall Tito Cup against that side that you've just described. And you did have good players.
You did.
But you won. We left you talking about, maybe we'll leave the brilliance of Jarni and Stimac and Asanovic and whatever for another day. You get to 96, it catches our imagination. We love the mix of national pride, new identity, beautiful strips. And oh, look, they can play too. Fantastic. Vlahovic. I can't remember when he has his encephalitis, but he has it. Plays for Valencia. I think scores the first goal in the Euro 96 game.
Yeah, against
late.
Turkey. Last minute or 1 minute to go.
The story's already beautiful. You qualify. I don't know. Pick anything you want from that experience, that tournament. But I want to say something that I remember from then and now. Because you grow up... Sorry, German fans. I do respect you. I do respect your country. And it's where we're recording at the moment. But you grew up wanting Germany to lose. That's what you grow up.
Yeah.
When they win all the time. When Bayern win all the time. Also when they're... It's like... What's her name in Fatal Attraction? And she's in the bath. And Michael Douglas is holding it.
Yeah.
And he takes his hands up and she goes... And it's Germany again.
Yeah.
And you lose to them in a game that I think...
Glenn Close.
Glenn Close should have been sent off as well. But Glenn Close is in the bath. Klinsmann should have been sent off in the... Thanks for playing. So thank you. I was wheeling and waiting for... You know, in modern rules, Klinsmann's sent off in the first 15 minutes. Maybe you love the physical nature of that game. But Germany, in that instance, I thought, get lucky.
Get lucky, because the referee got sent off. We had a good tournament. We were nervous and all that, but we beat Turkey. Very, very like tough game, not very pretty game without any chances. And then Asanovic played the ball to Vlahovic and last minute goal 1-0, and that opened us. We beat Denmark 3-0. After that, with Schuker's chip over Schmeichel, last one. And then we lost the third game. But
changing the side a little bit.
Only three of us played, three or four of us. And then again, quarterfinal against Germany, it's always Germany.
Uh-huh.
And we had a really good game. But we went down to 10 men. And we lost 2-1. Maybe it was foul on Yerkan and all that. But that... defeat against Germany, then we realized how good we are, and that helped us. The defeat
helped because us. You know the gap is so small between you and Germany.
And also we then we found out, but because we didn't, I told you about all those stories that Blažević was telling us in France. He was telling us the same things in 96. We didn't believe that much, that we are better than them, or that we can compete with them. After we lost against Germany 2-1, the disappointment was so, so huge. It was unbelievable. We cried in the dressing room. We cried on the pitch and everything, blah, blah, blah. But also the proudness of the knowledge. We realized then that we are good as a team, as they were. And that definitely helped us to beat Germany in the quarterfinals of the World Cup.
2 years later.
Yeah. That helped us.
In that game in 96, I remember there's a, I don't know which player it was. There's the
and
little,
I had a big, I should have been sent.
There's a little kick on the touchline, yeah. How did you know? How many people ask you about that? There was a little kick.
No, it wasn't a kick at all.
I thought you were trying to get some of the grass off the pitch or something.
No, I know Christian Ziege from my time in Germany. I also played in Germany, and he played
successfully for Karlsruhe, for Vinny Schaefer.
Yeah, you know everything. And so we were losing already 1-0, I think, and Christian, he collided with his player, and he went down. And I gave my hand to him, in German, get up. And he said something like, something bad, but okay. And then I was angry, and I went with my studs, But I stopped my head. I stopped my foot. Well, big respect to Christian, because if he had made a meal out of that, which it could have happened, of course, I would definitely be off. And the thing that you mentioned, if he had sent Klinsmann off, then I would be definitely off. But the
okay,
it was like few.
He allowed himself room to not send you off.
Exactly.
But you remember the Klinsmann thing that I'm talking about? Eh?
Yes, I do. Yeah,
now it's a red.
It's a red.
Now 1,000%.
1,000%. 1,000%.
So, what does 98 feel like? Because now it's a completely different experience, I imagine. You lose Boxage to injury.
Yeah.
But you've got tournament experience. Each of you has grown a little bit in your clubs. You know where the gap is. You go to France where, I guess, the field allows you... I always think the European Championship is possibly more elite. There are...
Yeah, yeah. It's more difficult to win the World Cup. To win, of course, it's more difficult to win the World Cup because you have Germany, you have Brazil. At least you have Brazil and Argentina.
For sure.
At least that. You have more, but at least that. But to pass the group, it's more difficult to pass the
in
group
the Euros.
In Euros.
Yeah.
Old-fashioned Euros, like when you have four teams, two goals. But we came as a... We had a really bad qualifications. We were also slaughtered back home. And Danes, what is like irony, Danes helped us because they didn't lose. If they had lost the last game in a group stage, in our group against Greece, we would be third. They drew 0-0. They were first. We were second. We went to playoffs
Greece
against Ukraine.
Out.
Greece go out. So wow. Danes helped us, wow. Schmeichel and them. So at the World Cup, our group is, we are like a little bit, we are shaky. We all have careers for our clubs and all that. No, no. But we are, the press and everything, you know what I mean? We are not that great. We are underachieving. And group is Jamaica, Japan, Argentina. We are, Argentina are the favorites, but behind them, we are supposed to go through. Because especially back home, Jamaica, nothing. Japan, they don't think.
But everybody knows Japan can play by then, that's for sure.
But
yeah, listen, Slaven, we come from Scotland.
Yeah.
Against Scotland, everybody's an underdog, okay? So Jamaica 10 goals, Japan 6.
Yeah, okay.
We understand.
So we would be Jamaica, okay, not easy, but 3-1. Second game against Japan is very difficult. It was played in Nantes. It was 42 degrees on a pitch. And I remember them having a great chance in the first half that Ladic stopped, the goalkeeper, who'd had a brilliant tournament. And then, of course, Šuker.
Davar, it has to be Davar.
One chance.
Yeah.
He scored the goal 10-12 minutes to go, and we beat them 1-0. So suddenly we are, before the Argentina game, we are through. Us and Argentina, 6 points each. Both of them are on zero. The group was like that. We are through.
The press conference is sensational.
Yeah, press conference. He changed the game. He changed the team against Argentina again. And then last 16, Romania. Romania, very good team, of course, but not better than us. Very difficult game.
Difficult
penalty.
To pick out who's a Romanian.
Yeah, blonde. Yeah.
All blonde?
All.
Okay.
All. They all dyed their hair and all that. But difficult game. But 1-0 penalty. Sugar, well deserved, 1-0, and you know we are. That's one thing that I'm telling to most of the international. I told the story to most of international coaches or managers when we were on those seminars because I was 6 years. You know what I mean? I wasn't like one
in charge
year
of Croatia.
Yeah, I was 6 years. It's a long
2006, 2012,
exactly.
Right?
And that's regarding to this story about 98. You read, it's not against them, but just to say the story, to tell the story. You read about problems in Dutch camp, like after 3 weeks together. You read about the problems in Serbia camp, Yugoslavia camp, that camp.
England camp.
Yeah, but not major
in Baden-Baden?
Problems, but not major, but... And then, and I know that because I've been through that as a player and as a manager. You know, what's the biggest difference between qualifications and tournaments? In qualifications, you gather on Sunday night. The game is on Friday or Saturday. Sunday night, you come, yeah, you're in a hotel, all that, yeah, how do? You see your friends, you play abroad, he plays there, you play there, you see some, puff, puff, puff. Then Monday, you see some relatives, blah, 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 all that. Have a coffee, have a this, this, and that. You are training, puff, puff. Thursday, you are traveling. And then it's all
game day.
Good. Game day. Ooh. You win. Bye bye. See you next month. You know, bye bye. See you.
It sounds pretty good.
So good.
Yeah.
If you lose, not that good, but it's all, it's very, it goes like this. Puff, puff, puff. You qualify.
Hmm.
You go 3 weeks before to a kind of a pre-season, after the season.
Yeah.
Pre-season, and then group stage is another 2 weeks. So it's 5 weeks. Beginning of, end of May, beginning of June. You're supposed to be on holidays after the long season. 50 men, players, staff. 50 men all together.
5-0.
5-0, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's be clear.
All together for 5 weeks. Big egos. This, you have to manage it. So, I read, is it 94 or 98? I don't know. Dutch camp problems. This camp
96.
Problem. Yeah, yeah. Or they David's lose the second home. Game. The Serbians, they lose the second game always 6-0. You know, like 7-1 or whatever.
Nigeria 98, exactly. They argue about money.
It's hard. It's hard. In Croatia, no matter who's the manager, you think it's because of you. No, it's not because of you. It wasn't because of Blažević. It wasn't because of me. It wasn't. It's not now because of Čačić or whoever was the manager. Our players, the more they are together, the more they enjoy.
Yeah.
And that was with our generation, and that is even now with this generation. Listen, 2008, I'm the manager. We are in Austria. We won all three games in the group stage. Austria 1-0, Germany 2-1, Poland 1-0. Lost in quarterfinals against Turkey in the most in very hurtful way.
I blame the fourth official.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If the substitute,
they blame me.
Okay, no,
of course, but that's my responsibility. Yeah, but I'm not talking about that now. So we are together for 6 weeks, six and a half. Big decision. I thought we're going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we're going to win it. The players also thought that we're going to win it. So the down is unbelievable. The down is like, puff. Tomorrow we go home. Go to Sheraton Hotel in Zagreb. And they're like, I say, like, okay, guys, get over that or whatever. Mm-hmm. See you in a couple of months' time. August, no qualifications and all that. And I see, hey, believe me, see 10 of them, but 10, not 4. Not all of them, but 10 of them. They go together to a restaurant to have a dinner. And I go, hey, I go.
After 7 weeks
after
together.
After 7 weeks. That's the thing about Croatia.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So back to 98. We beat Romania, but we are not bored. We are enjoying to be together. You know, we are rising. Really, we are so happy that we are staying a few more days. And we are so happy that we are playing Germany.
You remind me.
You can't believe that what kind of energy can that gather?
Does this begin in Chile? In the World Cup, Youth World Cup, you're injured. But I hear stories that they wanted to stay.
I wasn't part of that.
They wanted to go. That generation you're talking about, they love being together. They love the adventure of being in Chile. They win it.
They loved it.
Does it begin there?
I don't know. I wasn't there. And you know what I mean?
But if you hear the stories.
The whole thing now, one of the biggest subjects in Croatia every year or whatever, it doesn't always have to come from Croatia or Serbia or Bosnia, is how ex-Yugoslavian team would look now. Like not only Modric, Rakitic, but Modric, Rakitic, Mandžukić plus Dzeko plus Tadic or whoever from Serbia, Kolarov or them. I don't know, because I didn't play for Yugoslavia. Maybe Mandžukić wouldn't be in the position to start his career that early. Because Croatian League, okay, as we say, everything is about the balance in everything. So Croatian League is not the greatest league. Of course it's not the greatest league. But Croatian League gave opportunity to Modric, Mandžukić, Krančar, Srna, whoever, Perišić, whoever, Badel, Čurluka, to play when they were 18.
Mm.
And it's also the league that it's on the telly, it's also the league that it's on the papers. So that's the big difference between... I remember once I was flying from Zagreb to London or London to Zagreb, and I read 442 magazine, and there was an article about a great Arsenal generation that won the Youth Cup in whatever, I don't know what season, and like where they are now. And of course the journalists, they want to slaughter the...
Why didn't
Arsenal
they come through?
Or whatever. Only one made it.
Yeah.
Maybe Matthew Upson or whoever, I don't know. It doesn't matter, it's irrelevant. Yeah, but it's difficult. It's impossible because you want to have the best league in the world. And that the team is full of Thierry Henry or Dennis Bergkamp or this one or this one or this one or this one. In Croatia, when you are 17 or 18, you are talented.
You play.
And you are also giving interviews. And you are also on television. And you are playing very competitive games. By the way, Modric, when he was in Dinamo Zagreb, and Modric at Arsenal at that time was like equivalent number 10 of the youth team. Modric, when he was 20, in space of 2 years, from 18 till 20, he already played 20 games for under-21s when I was his manager.
Yeah.
Then he already played 50 games for Dinamo Zagreb, also qualifications for Champions League, against Werder Bremen, against Arsenal, played European League, 6 games, full stadium, packed. At the same time, this guy, he didn't play. He only trained. Only trained with Bergkamp.
Are we talking about travel, pressure, responsibility, learning,
review? Everything. Modric in that time kicked all the boxes that were important and necessarily for his improvement of the player.
That take a talent, let's say for example, on your argument from the 442 article, maybe there was a 6 or an 8 or a 3 in the Arsenal team of the same quality as Modric. But he lost minimum 2 years before he was judged in terms of pressure, responsibility, learning, training, review, because he didn't play.
Probably there was none of Modric.
I used the wrong name. Not even wrong when name, I said Modric,
no.
I used the wrong name.
But
about your argument,
I bet you that minimum half of them would have made a respectable career in football if they were Croatians. 100%.
When I come back to this argument all the time, I remember that I only use this example because I've lived in Spain 15 years and they did they did well over some tournaments. And Fernando Torres was the interview retrospectively when he was at Chelsea to try and understand it. And he said that when Spain won the World Cup in 1999 in Nigeria as under 20s, they were kids.
World Cup is under 20s.
Yeah. Marchena, Casillas, Xavi. Torres said when that team won, they began to break through. But when we won the European champions as under 17 or under 19s, we were at clubs where initially they said, just like you said about Arsenal, we must buy, we must always entertain. It isn't even about whether we get a Pires or a Bergkamp. At the clubs he was talking about in Spain, La Liga, they said, it's a sign of power and manliness and status to be spending. And therefore kids maybe broke through kids at 24. And Torres said, what changed is, as we kept winning youth tournaments, clubs said, we have to try them now. After one tournament, no. Two tournaments, no. Three tournaments, okay. So the generation, just to back your argument from a Spanish point of view, that won three straight senior tournaments, most of them began to be trusted early. Whereas the ones before them, who were talented and were maybe winning European or coming second in the Olympics or whatever, they weren't trusted quickly. There was even in Spain, just like England, there was a problem about saying, that guy's talented, use him now.
I don't know what happened in Spain, but in Spain, something happened in Spain, and I talked about that, and I tried to remember my point, because something happened in Spain. You should know that,
you,
not me.
You reminded me of it because you said in the Croatian league the players play.
Yeah, but in Spain, I'm not talking football. I'm talking sport. I remember Spain before, like, let's say, they won 2008. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about 12 years ago. They were bad in every sport. Football, they were cruising in the qualifications. Every tournament, they were like favorites to do well. Maybe not to win it, but to do well, well, well.
They're fragile.
Formula One, nothing. Tennis, nothing. Basketball, talented, nothing. Suddenly, 2008, football. Then Alonso, Formula One. Then Nadal, and then basketball, they won everything. Something happened in, I don't know how.
If I give what they tell me, what they say.
Good Patanegra.
1994, Patanegra. Patanegra was always there. This is the most beautiful jamón that they have in Spain. The people say, watching Spaniards win. Just like you talked about experience at 17, 18 in the Croatian league. Luka Modric did things, learned things, took responsibility for defeat, understood, saw travel, understood the temperatures aren't the same in every country in Europe, food is different, learned to live with 4 hours sleep after a big game, age state. Okay, in Spain, 92, the Olympics, watching Spaniards win, right, watching the pride, seeing, like you said about Olic, look kid, you can win the javelin, you can win the karate, there's the change. We dropped off about who said they are knights of Croatia? Who said Tudjman was giddy with victory like a kid? Because we were in the middle of that game. We were talking about revenge, the big revenge scenario. Yeah, Croatia-Germany.
Revenge, but revenge is...
Don't tell me it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. Revenge.
Come
is
on.
I was a hard player, but I don't like the word revenge, you know, in football.
Because?
You know, because it's not. It shouldn't be there. Revenge.
Every good coach, every good player tells me the same.
Yeah, no, I mean...
We believe in it, but you don't.
But who said that? It was... everybody was saying that. Tudjman was saying that, our president. He was saying that all the time, that we are Croatian knights. And he was... And that was the difference between Croatia then and Croatia 10 years after. Like, or Croatia then and Serbia then, or ex-Yugoslavia, or Yugoslavia, because they were called still Yugoslavia, and all that. And it was good when you know that your president, the president of your country, is like a football fan, you know. He came twice to France.
to France 98, the World Cup.
Yeah. And he cared about it. He knew personally all of us. We were going, some of us were going on very, not private, not one against one, but to like dinners or conversations with him. Boban and Shuker more than us, but I was also once. You know, and you feel...
It matters.
Also, it matters, of course. It makes you also a better player, more confident or whatever. It's nice, you know. At least it doesn't harm. So the adrenaline we have, although the adrenaline there, 98, was, we were more normal football team than 96. 96, we were army. We were like soldiers. We were like knights, as you have said. 98, still, we had more proud than other countries, other national teams. We had more because still we were very young countries, still the war was very recent, unfortunately, and all that. But we were becoming more like a normal national team.
So as footballers, you were more experienced, more streetwise, tournament mentality, which we just talked about. And also you said you learned in 96 in the defeat, the narrowness of the quality gap against Germany was very, very small indeed.
Yeah, but in the end, sorry to interrupt
you,
but at the end of the day, it's all great, like, you know, when you have a successful story, then every month or every year you add something to make it like a Hollywood story, like you were more mature. And
We do this, journalists do this.
We agree. Because after your career, it also helps you, you know what I mean? You like to talk about it, or you like to be talked about. And you love to be better player or bigger legend than you normally was or were. The difference between 96 and 98 mm-hmm. in a game against Germany mm-hmm. is that we were more lucky, 98... And 96, as you have said, we weren't lucky. Germans were lucky.
I'm really surprised.
I remember the game. I played that game. And I remember the game. And I already had a joke in that game with Boban. It's like, first 20 minutes, they are all over us. They are all over us. And I go to Boban and I go to him, Zvone, why don't we let them score a goal? And then they're going to sit a little bit back. And in the second half, Shuker's going to score anyway, because he always scored. Because this is like, we can't stand it. You know what I mean? They're going. They were better team, much better team. Ladic had a couple of great saves against Birov, 0-0. And then, I think 2 minutes to go. 2 minutes before the halftime.
Break, yeah.
2 minutes before the break, Jarni scored a cracker. For 25 meters or whatever, or 22, or a brilliant left
gorgeous
foot.
Gorgeous goal.
1-0. So it's 1-0. And then their player, Worms, got sent off. And we are going at a halftime. 1-0. And they are with 10 men. Oh, okay. Brilliant. So we come back. Second half. And again, they have a brilliant chance. Ladic again saved. And then, poof, Vlahovic scored again, cracker, 2-0. And then, as I told you, like on Wembley, 2-0, we are the best team in the world. then it could have been 5.
Yeah.
But we were the difference. Okay, I agree. I like sometimes to talk extremes to get my point, you know. But I agree, we were more matured. We more believed. We entered the game that they are not better. Like, as 96, we entered the game, maybe we have a chance.
Thinking that.
Yeah.
But not believing.
But 98, we believed that we can beat them. But if we are talking strictly about 90 minutes mm-hmm. there and there, 96, we weren't lucky. Maybe. A lot of people are saying that 96, we had a better team than 98.
But
96 we had Bokšić. 96 we had some players, some really, really good players.
It just seems strange to call it luck when Yarny's goal is brilliant. It's not luck that Vernes is sent off isn't luck. Things go your way. The cards fall your way. But that was their worst defeat in 44 years. My argument is that the quality, the mentality, the unity of that Croatian team made you a better unit. Maybe we've so much to speak about and we're going to lose a lot of it. But we're going to finish at the end of 1998. So we finish with this about, you talked about luck. Lilian Thuram scores 2 goals in his international career. Yeah. They're both against you. You're winning. One of them is off his left foot. As if he was the greatest left-footed player ever. It's the better goal. The first goal is an overload. Let's leave that game aside. Let's leave Laurent Blanc aside, who pushed you in your face with his left hand. Okay. Today it's a red card.
It doesn't matter. It was even then a red card, but okay.
But today there's no argument, because if you raise your hand and you touch a face,
but it wouldn't have been an argument even then if it wasn't home side, you know, home side,
France,
final,
and
you know.
Blanc doesn't
and
go to the
Laurent
final.
Blanc, then his nickname is Professor, you know, he's a very polite guy anyway. I liked him, you know what I mean, and I didn't want him to be sent off, but I was afraid of my, because I was already in booking with booking from the game against Romania. But anyway, okay.
So I wonder, does Frank Leboeuf ever send you a nice postcard or a little phone call to say, hey, Slaven? Because I say this because I'm reporting on the final, and we go to the final and we see the team sheet, and the first team sheet comes out and it says, O animal, Edmundo. He's in the 11. The team sheet comes out, and 20 minutes later, the team sheet comes out again, and he's not there, and Ronaldo plays. And Ronaldo, it's so sad. Whoever wins the final, he shouldn't have been handicapped in that final, his first final. But downstairs in Stade Denis, as a group of reporters, because Frank Leboeuf knows us from the Premier League, and I'm saying to him, Frank, you've won it. We've talked about winning it. What was the experience like? And he said, at the time I thought it was a bad thing to say. Now I understand. He went, it was easy. Because Ronaldo wasn't right. It was a mistake to play him. And I think anybody who loves football feels sorry that he didn't play at his full potential. But if it was easy, and Lilian Thuram doesn't score the only 2 goals of his international career, then it's Croatia-Brazil. And it's you against a tired, sick Ronaldo. It is.
Yeah.
So tell me now, do you never dream? You're such a practical man. You never dream that could have been us, not me, or if only, or gosh, or did you watch the final?
No, I didn't even watch the final. Of course, I watched the highlights after, or whatever, Zidane's goal. Of course, I would have loved sometimes. Like now, of course, you are dreaming and all that, but to be fair, I think more about Euro 2008, if we are talking about disappointments or what could have happened.
You've dealt with that brilliantly. This has been even more interesting and inspirational than we asked for. My instinct is to talk to you for another probably 2.5 hours, but it's 11:10. Yeah. You're coaching a leading Premier League team. You need your rest. So let's not talk about what it felt like to grow up in Croatia, whether you felt Yugoslav or not. Let's not talk about your father. Let's not talk about law degrees. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk about Eduardo or Dembaba and the job he did for you at Besiktas.
Yeah.
Or let's talk about that another day. That's my request.
I would love it. To be fair, I don't mind interviews. They're part of my job. But there are interviews and interviews. You know, some of them you don't enjoy. Some of them you like because you have to do it. Or it's good for your profile. You know, it's not just obligation. It's good for you. But this is enjoy. This is pure joy, you know. It's not a normal one, but in a most positive way. Is the one that you don't. It's like you are. The best interviews are when you are talking without really noticing that there are those those, how you call those machines, I don't know.
Mobile phones, but with 17 missed calls and tape recorders.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Slaven you, Bilic. You're off the hook.
Pleasure.
The Big Interview is produced by Backpage and me, Graham Hunter. The music you always hear, the music that you love, is Beer Jacket. You can keep up with everything that we do, within reason, by getting on the mailing list at grahamhunter.tv. How many times do I have to tell you? Yes, several thousand of you have done it, but come on, slackers at the back, sign up. That grahamhunter.tv site is also where you can buy the new updated version of my book, Barca, The Making of the Greatest Team in the World. It's my account of the Guardiola era at the Camp Nou from 2008 until 2012, plus Tito, Tata, and adios Johan Cruyff. It is in all good bookshops now, but it does also make a big difference to all of us who've worked on the project if you choose to buy direct at grahamhunter.tv/books. You'll be sure to get the new edition, and you will be helping us to continue producing independent content. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being there. Without you, this would be fun, but a lot less fun. See you soon.